And now from Oprah and Friends,
here's Dr. Mehmet Oz.
Joining us today is the Emmy Award nominated producer and director of numerous films, is Andy Abrahams Wilson. Thanks for joining us, Andy.
Thanks for having me here.
He crafted this beautiful film called Under Our Skin, and you actually can find out a bit about this movie on the web. You can actually order it as well if you want to see it. And Kathy Fowler, who I mentioned earlier, is medical reporter for the ABC affiliate in Washington, D.C., WJLA. She's been a journalist for 20 years, been reporting on numerous medical topics. She earned an Edward Morrow Award for her reports on the black market sales of human organs in the Philippines, which I'm going to ask you about a little bit as well, because we have been talking about that for a while. And 2 years ago, you began researching Lyme disease. Mm-hmm. And start the story there.
Well, I was researching it. People, first of all, I've been a medical reporter in the early 90s and have been covering Lyme disease sort of the way everybody covered it. It's a disease that's easy to treat, easy to diagnose. It's no big deal. And partly the reason why I guess I believe this, too, was personally, I had Lyme disease when I was 19 years old. I was in a terrible car accident out in the field. This is a whole nother story, which I won't get into, but out in the field for like 8 hours and had gotten bit by.
You weren't rescued for 8 hours?
8 hours. Yeah. Very.
How did they find you?
Finally, somebody, it happened at night, and then somebody discovers us in the morning when you could see that the car had been wrecked and we were sort of off into the woods. So I had been bitten, mosquitoes, bugs, you name it. So it went in the hospital, but I had life-threatening injuries. So then later, after I'd been in the hospital for a while, they noticed a bullseye rash on my knee. And my father actually found it first and told the doctors, and he goes, "This is Lyme disease." My dad, pretty smart guy, well-read. And the doctors looked at it and they said, "Yeah, it probably is Lyme disease." But when she first came in the hospital, because she had trauma and other injuries, we gave her, a quick dose of antibiotics and it would be fine. So don't worry about it. We got bigger, fish to fry here. We have to worry about saving her life. Lyme disease, not a big deal. So that's what I always thought, too, personally, because I had Lyme disease. Cut to 10 years later, I'm having all these personal issues as far as like tingling hands, numbness in the feet, aches, pains, joints, feeling like I'm really old. Here I am in my mid-20s. Then my immune system is terrible. I have Legionnaire's disease at the age of 25, and everyone's like, "You can't have Legionnaire's. You have to have a compromised immune system to have, you're a healthy person." But I did. 2 years ago, people kept mentioning Lyme. You got to do this, the real story about Lyme disease. And I was like, "Oh, okay, note to self, I'll do that, work on that." And then really, as I was sort of investigating my own health and trying to figure out what was going on, going from doctor to doctor to doctor, finally someone said, "You may have chronic Lyme." And I'm like, "Wait a minute, people have been talking about it. I need to just do a story on this." So we sort of started investigating it as a profession and for personal reasons too.
Andy, you've had a long career, a very successful career making movies on things ranging from documentaries, on topics ranging from dancing to other endeavors that you pursued. They're quite disparate in their nature. What got you interested in making a movie on Lyme disease? It seems like a very narrow little finite topic.
Yeah, everybody asks that question. And I think it's curious because it is something that most people, is not on the tip of people's tongues, Lyme disease. And if it is, it's thought of as something that's really not serious. And that's where I came from. I didn't take it seriously. Years ago, my twin sister, who lives in upstate New York, in Woodstock, New York, had Lyme disease. And all I remember was that she was always lying on the couch, asking for food and water, and I just...
Milking it.
Yeah, and complaining. And so I thought, okay, this is just the Kvetcher's disease. I didn't take it that seriously. I know she had problems and so forth, but that was it. That was my extent of understanding about Lyme disease for the most part. And then about 8 or 10 years later in California, a friend of mine out there got very sick. All these mysterious symptoms, cognitive symptoms, neurological symptoms. She would walk into the grocery store and forget who she was, not just where she was, but who she was. And I thought, wow, that's a big deal. And so she was first diagnosed with MS and then ALS, which is basically a death sentence. Mm-hmm. And she recalls that her physician at the time said, "Oh, isn't it interesting? We're getting a rash of ALS diagnoses." And you know, so much for bedside manner. So
the third one this week. Whoa, look at that.
Yeah. And so that was, then she finally got a second or maybe 20th opinion or something like that. And she was diagnosed with Lyme disease. She was tested and diagnosed with Lyme and began a road back to health. And so it was through her and through reflecting on my sister's experience and just being wowed by the reality. I had no idea Lyme disease could do that. And as I looked into it more and more, I was just shocked with the depth of misunderstanding about this disease and the depth of need for the story to be told. And beyond that, there's the intrigue and drama involved with the story itself, which I'm sure we'll get into.
Kathy, when you obviously were learning more and more about chronic Lyme, you began to tease away some of the layers that shroud the truth of what this might be. And I want to be very clear with all of the listeners. I actually called after I saw the video. I was so moved by it. And I do think I don't care what you think about Lyme disease, I think you should see the video because it's a whole different way of thinking about reporting on health. I mean, it was like any other kind of sci-fi thriller slash political drama. It was nicely done. And from that reason, I think alone you ought to be credited for what you've been able to accomplish, just making it cool to understand. I called friends of mine who are Lyme's experts, and I called infectious disease people, and I call people I work with for 10 years who I actually trust. I think they have got, both besides having impeccable scientific credentials, they're solid citizens. And I got back generally the belief that we don't know for sure, but I don't think that chronic Lyme exists, which I was sort of struck by. And again, I'm at an academic institution.
That's
they go
kind
to
of the party line,
meeting.
Though.
It is the party line. Well, no, the party line, some would say, is it doesn't exist.
Right.
So they were open-minded. They were saying, we don't know for sure. But Scott Hammer, who's one of the top infectious disease docs in the world, who happens to be at Columbia, said, we think there are actually a lot of other viruses that cause human illness. And maybe they track with Lyme. Maybe Lyme knocks you down so these viruses can gain a foothold. And we actually don't know what those viruses are. And maybe treating the Lyme strengthens the immune system so the immune system can fight off the virus. Maybe it is a chronic Lyme. Who the heck knows? We don't know for sure. But it's a strange bird, whatever it is. So as you begin to peel off the layers of this condition, how would you begin to figure out what kind of story could be told to bring this alive and not spook people into thinking there's some conspiracy theory going on?
It was really hard. And matter of fact, I have to tell you, first of all, I was struck on many different levels because when I first started to delve into the story, I had so many phone calls from doctors saying, don't do the story. Stay away from the story. This is not a story. And, anybody who's a journalist knows that when you're told this is not a story, don't do it. I went, oh my God, this is a big story. I'm like, okay, you just told me that there's something here. So that prompted me to ask a lot more questions. And the most striking thing and shocking thing that I discovered as I was researching this is that a lot of people, as a journalist, you have to be very open-minded. You have to come to the table and say, I have no idea what I'm going to walk away with when I try to tell this story. I don't know what the story is going to find itself. And I'm going to go through this journey. I'm going to find out what the story is at the end of whatever story I'm telling. But what I discovered was that the medical community, a lot of people in the medical community and scientific community were very close-minded. And I think as a journalist, I have to be open-minded. And as a scientific community and medical community, you have to be open-minded. How can you say? And I've had doctors tell me, this does not exist. And I'm thinking, well, how can you say that? Because you can't prove something doesn't exist.
Listen to Dr. Oz at 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. in the East.
Live your best life on Oprah and Friends, XM 156 and Sirius 195.